Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 2th, 216th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, you can tell he's not acclimated to the community yet. He's wearing a sweater in the summer on a Friday, Bill Panos.
He just said it was 57 degrees.
And a lovely 57 it is.
It is lovely.
Well, maybe we have to give you another year, huh? Maybe. Okay. Yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about, well, we'll get some updates about the cops. Perhaps the replacement. Perhaps not the replacement. We'll get some critter updates. That would be the zoo. And park. And garden. As well as celebrating victories. Huh. Can't be a Giant fan. But we'll find out what he's talking about when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to... I got to see if I can find a sweater quote. In honor. Huh. No, that's not going to work. Oh, okay. I guess I can't find a sweater quote. I will find one for you for next month, though.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay. Here's just a goofy quote because that's all right. It's an unknown source, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rodney Dangerfield has used it. The baby was so ugly. One of those, okay? The baby was so ugly that they had to hang a pork chop around its neck to get the dog to play with it. You're not a Dangerfield fan. I sense this. Otherwise, you would have been going right along with me on it, Bill. But, you know, you can use that quote anytime you want to now and give it attribution.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, jiminy. So... had a little bit of action at the zoo earlier this week, and the duck pond, and the park, and. Last month we got together, and that was one of the things that you'd identified as not an unspoken jewel or an unrecognized jewel, but a jewel nonetheless for the city. Is it concerning that criminal activity is revisiting?
It's concerning for our community and for me personally and for the council in all of the parts of the city where there's criminal activity. And certainly Sequoia Park is no exception. And so we are looking, you know, deeply at the problem and are assigning more resources to that area and the issues. We've also, as I think I've pointed out before in our budget this year, created a new department in the city called the Parks and Recreation Department, taking it away from the Public Works organization and making it its own standalone department to emphasize our great parks, our waterfront, and our youth recreation programs throughout the city. And in doing that, it will help us dedicate more focus, dedicate more resources to the parks and to maintaining them, to patrolling them, to keeping them clean and usable by the entire public, not just the visiting public, but also our citizens that live here all year round.
So what is the goal? What do you see for the zoo, the duck pond, the park, the garden, everything that's kind of around Sequoia Park and Zoo? What do you, if everything goes according to Hoyle, Yeah, you'd realize, of course, he's related to Murphy. I didn't know if you knew that or not. And you wear a sweater in the summer. I'm not sure what you know anymore. What does it look like in this time next year? Do we see a difference, or do we just feel a difference?
It's both. I mean, you'll both see and feel a difference. You know, we're beginning along the same lines of investing more in that part of the community. We're going to be having a ribbon cutting, or groundbreaking, I should say, soon for our new exhibit at the zoo. There'll be, again, more dollars put into that area, more capacity for people to visit and to enjoy not only the zoo, but the areas around the zoo. You'll see more of our staff that are present in those areas during the hours of operation. You'll see a cleaner pass, a more invested in park as we go forward. And we've done a great job over the last few years, and certainly since we've had Sequoia Park, in maintaining it and keeping it for not only the current users but future generations. And it's just more of that. It's more of the same to continue to maintain and make available this great resource that we have.
What's the attendance like? Yeah, I know that there was concern when admissions got whipped on it, the admission fee, that it would take it down. Last, I think I recall hearing somewhere around 100,000 visits a year inside the zoo. Any idea?
Yeah, it's up. I can't give you the exact number off the top of my head, but the last report that I read, it's up and has been up for the last few years. This is a reflection of the great work that the Zoo Foundation and our zoo staff do to create a place where families go to have a good time and to see these amazing animals. By the way, we have a new panda that was just born recently. And
does it look like a panda?
It does look like a panda. It looks
Kung
like a
Fu panda?
No, a red panda.
Oh, panda?
A red panda, which is somewhat smaller.
It's more like a fox, isn't it? Ish?
Somewhat like that, okay. But a little bit smaller than a Chinese panda bear, larger panda bear. But certainly this red panda is a great addition to our city family. And
what'd they name it?
They have not yet. And in fact, there is an event, a fundraising event for the Zoon Foundation coming up. Called Zootini, a very popular event at the zoo. And one of the things that they will be giving away is an opportunity to name the panda bear.
Maybe they'll name it Ziggy.
Why not?
That would screw with really mess with people's minds that were old line in the city.
Maybe you can come and participate at Zootini and bid on the opportunity to name the bear.
There we go. It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between, such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products. And of course, there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this very afternoon with Bill Panos. Bill, you wanted to share a little bit also about, or I wanted to have you share, I guess it's probably more accurate, about the police department.
Sure.
Merle has been extended. I know that there was a little bit of confusion about whether or not a chief had been selected, a little while ago. What's the current status with EPD?
You know, it's very similar to where we were last time I think I talked to you. We are in the process of doing background investigations, and we look forward to getting through that process. It's taken a little longer than we thought, and that's okay. We want to be thorough. and make sure that we have the right candidate selected for this very, very important position. And so we haven't selected anyone yet, and we're going through the process of background investigations now, and Merle is still there and still helping us out, and we're very fortunate to have him.
Can I ask a real base question?
Sure.
Who in their right mind would want it?
This is a great community with great potential and great challenges, and there are many, many candidates. We had more applicants in this recruitment than we had ever had in our history for a police chief, 44 of them qualified applicants, and you know, we're down to the finalists, and so there are many, many people who are very interested in not only the great opportunities that are here, but the great challenges as well.
As a stepping stone to something else, or as a terminal, do they know? Can you even ask those questions?
Our hope is that our candidates that they are focused on being here for a while. The solutions here are not are going to be resolved quickly. The solution sets are going to take some time. As you know, there's a number of them, and that you know, number of issues that we have to develop solutions for, and they're just going to take some time. And so we are looking for candidates that are going to be with us for a while.
Does the department have the resources, the financial wherewithal to be able to do? Because I know the temptation is buy more cops. Mm-hmm. But if we've got a community, what was one of the stories this week? Some guy and gal had a newborn, 9 days old. They had meth. They had, you know, the drug stuff all around. It's like, wait a minute, what is... Those are things that cops can't deal with. That's a different element of the criminal scene, if you will, or culture that we're dealing with that, I don't know, you know, badges can't do it. Parents don't seem to be able to do it. So this thing is really so much larger than what a normal police chief position would have to deal with, I would suggest.
You know, I think that we have an amazing group of officers that have been with us for a long time, and new ones joining us every day. Every week we have new staff, either consultants or volunteer staff or full-time officers, dispatchers joining our ranks. They're an amazing group of people, and they have a very difficult job to do, and they do it very, very well. They will always need additional resources, both in terms of information, time, people, money, to do the job and to do what the community expects them to do. So they will always have those challenges. Our job is to understand what those are and to focus resources towards the places that need it most. And so it's not just about more, it's about smart policing. It's about community-oriented policing. It's about getting into the neighborhoods and understanding them deeply so that the resources that we're applying are most effectively used. And these are the kinds of things that our new chief will be focused on as they come on board.
Yeah, I don't think it's a surprise, you know, if you go into a neighborhood, you talk to a couple of the graybeards in the neighborhood, they'll tell you. I mean, it's, you know, we're not that sophisticated or that big, but to deal with this cultural change that's been enveloping us over the last 15 years. That's, I mean, when Merle says it's time to go, that's a red flag for some of us, just to say, you know, yeah, things have changed and there are some pressures that are out there that we don't understand. When you were interviewing the candidates, or I guess when the headhunters were interviewing the candidates and the city council and you, were you asking for ideas all along the way to kind of cherry pick just in case they didn't have to have the magic number?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're unique in this region. We're unique in our community, but we're not alone in these challenges. There are many other communities like ours around the country where these are challenges, and some where it seems to be working certain techniques, certain methods, certain practices seem to be working. And we've asked these candidates about those practices, those methods, those techniques, and they've responded really well. And in understanding not only how they could be translated here and applied, but how they don't apply, and how unique we are, and how they have to be applied in such a custom way to affect the greatest change in value to our particular community. So our candidates responded really well to that.
Sounds like you're excited about whoever the final is.
I am. I'm excited for our community to have a police chief that will be here for a long time so that we can move forward, and that that law enforcement person can work with the other law enforcement people in this community, and that we can use law enforcement as an opportunity to improve the quality of life here and economic development in our community.
I'll vote for you. Oh, sorry. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back with Bill Panos from the city of Eureka. What? I said our age, and you're taking exception to that?
Yes.
Well, good. At least you're reflecting on the answer before you blurt it out now. You're not that much younger than 50, are you?
I'm over 50.
Well, okay. So it's our age.
Okay.
Yeah. I might be better pickled than you are. I don't know. Or
you are definitely
you may be better,
better
pickled than I am. Huh?
You are definitely better pickled than I am.
You know, someday we're going to be on the street talking. Somebody's going to be overhearing these conversations.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the weirdest looks. Here it's okay because it's within a contained space. And those who are listening at least understand the humor a little bit. Oh, my. So you said you wanted to do a little celebrating. Or recognizing and have many celebrations of some of the things that have gone on, I presume, in the 7 months since you've been steering this ship?
Well, we have so much to celebrate here in our community. We were just speaking last week about the sort of rebirth of the Healy building downtown in Old Town, and the idea of celebrating
the Old Town Bar and Grill. Nobody knows what it is, a Healy building.
Is that what it was, the Old Town Bar and Grill?
Old Town Bar and Grill, yeah. And KFMI was on the second floor, too.
Oh, they were?
At one point, yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, the idea that we need to celebrate, sort of, as I said, the rebirth of these facilities, of these buildings. And that's important. And there was a great celebration down there with music and dancing and things like that. And, you know, we have just last week, Barbara Groom broke ground on her new Lost Coast Brewery, an expansion of an amazing manufacturer of great beer here.
3 years to get to the point where you could stick a shovel in the dirt?
She's been working very hard for a long time at this project, and so now we've gotten started, and so we want to celebrate that success. As I mentioned before, the zoo is starting construction of its new exhibit, the largest expansion in the zoo's history, where we're going to actually introduce animals from this area, from this region, otters and others from this area. And
city administrators?
Maybe that too.
Or former city administrators.
I don't know.
That'd probably sit a little bit better with you, wouldn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So
where's that building?
It's going to be right at the entrance. If you actually go to the zoo now, there are screening there because they're starting to do demolition. It's right in the middle of the zoo, right in the front. They're starting there.
Is that where the polar bear or the bear holes were?
The bear is actually to the right. This is straight on from
the
entrance.
Where the trees were with the little...
And there were some offices there and some other things. Okay. All of that's gone now and they're starting construction. So that's a great celebration. Also, there's a Wendy's restaurant that has been an old one that has been torn down and a new one that's going to go in. And there's just a lot of activities that are going on around Eureka that are signs of our success, our community success and community progress, and we need to take time to celebrate those things that are going well in our community, that we should be proud of in our community, and take the time to celebrate our successes and watch our community move forward, because it's an exciting time and it's going to continue.
Is the city continuing to get inquiries for relocation? I mean, you see the stuff at Bayshore Mall. Then one side it's, hey, great, yeah. And the other side is, but the inside is so empty. Yeah, so it's a two-edged sword. Outside's looking good. Inside, it may not spill over into.
I'm glad you brought up the Bayshore Mall. Another example of celebrating success. You know, we have three new large national retailers coming in there. And actually, there's construction at the Bayshore Mall.
Yeah, who's the beauty
place? Ulta Cosmetics.
I know that you're probably not high on their list, and I'm not high on their list either.
But yeah, I'm definitely.
What is it?
I'm definitely not a frequent shopper there.
Is it a supply house?
It's sort of a high end cosmetic store, and that model has done very well around the country, and they're bringing it here. Sports Authority will be going in there. TJ Maxx, as you know, and so there are retailers that are coming to Eureka, and they are reconstructing basically the Bayshore Mall now to accommodate those new retailers.
Why Eureka? What is it that they're seeing that from miles away that we're not seeing locally?
Well, I think they're seeing what we're seeing, which is a future that is a future of growth and a future of prosperity. We have our challenges now. We've had our challenges in the past. But we are starting to slowly figure those things out and move forward. And they see that we have great potential here. And they are reflecting on that, and they are making a decision to invest here. And we want more of that. We want people to make the choice, and we need to create the conditions within which they can make those choices. We're the largest city between coastal city between San Francisco and Portland, and we are the retail hub for 150 miles in three directions. So I think that. That four would be the ocean.
Yeah. That's a direct. I don't know of anything that's out there.
I'm not sure how many.
I'd say four.
Okay, I'm not
sure. Let others correct you.
Okay, that's fine. So, but they're recognizing that, and we need to continue to create the conditions within which to have them make those choices.
So, with that construction that is going on, we also have got the marina project, which I don't know. Randy was in on Monday and said it's. Okay. Progressing it step by step. Okay. But for most of us, we're seeing no. And I know it's within the city jurisdiction. I know the city is involved. What are you hearing about the marina project?
Well, we're excited about all of the development projects that are going on in our community, in particular the marina project. It continues to move forward. It is a project that is going to take some time. I'm sure Randy told you this, and I'm sure Rob has been in here to talk about it as well. They are committed to this community, and they are committed to this project, and we continue to have retailers that continue to say that's the perfect place for this kind of project that they've proposed. And so I think that we will continue to move forward, and it's been sort of reiterated to me by the city council during our strategic planning process that they want something to happen there.
What about the rest of the waterfront development, Bill? We've got going from the bridge-ish. Well, actually, I guess you bring it all the way around to Target. Sweeping around, there's still definite lack of retail on the water or utilization of the water. I mean, it could be that even that broad-based a statement also. You've got Greg Pearson's building at the foot of F Street that's got two or three retail and a little bit of lodging. Your building that's still looking for a restaurant in it. And beyond that, there's, I guess you could argue Seamus maybe around the corner, but there's still large expanses there. Is that the potential that you're talking of?
Oh, well, that is one of the potentials here. The waterfront is a unique place. I have never been to a community of this size that has so much potential on its waterfront that still exists. In most cases, it's been really well developed already. And this is not. And when I say developed, I don't mean just development that keep you away from the water. I mean things that bring you to the water, that attract you to the water, both tourists and citizens that live here, so that they can recreate there. They can engage the bay. They can appreciate the bay for the amazing natural resource that it is. And in doing those developments, we're sensitive to that. And we have sort of sustainable practices along the water so that people, not only our current generation, but future generations can enjoy the bay and enjoy the bay the way that it was meant to be, which is to recreate there, to shop, to stay, to celebrate, as we were talking about earlier, like 4th of July and things like that, on the bay, because the bay is one of our great resources.
KINS, news and information time. It's 3:44. I think I'll still vote for you. We'll be back with more from Bill Panos.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, news and information time. It's 3:48, final couple minutes of the week. We're spending with Bill Panos. Bill, as you look at some of the activities that are going on, this excitement that you feel, a lot of us have had the excitement, I think, kind of muted over the years because we've seen it, we've heard it, and it hasn't happened, so we're kind of fatigued, I think. How do you look at the excitement that you feel, the fatigue that many of us feel, and try to bring the two together so that not only are we both looking in the same direction, but you're re-energizing some of the folks that have run the gauntlet and have just, you know, found the wall at the end of the run instead of any kind of success?
Yeah. I mean, I think that understanding that there are different parts of our community and that there's much of this community that is still very excited about this place and really have lived here for generations and love it and want to see it move forward and progress. There's a strong part of that community, and I hear from it every day. And they come to see me, or I see them on the street, or I'm at events, and we talk extensively about the pride that they have and in this community and how they want to see the community move forward. And so I'm not sure that it's all folks that have lost their focus on that. I think there's a lot of people that do. And so it's about bringing them forward. It's also about taking the time to do it, taking the time to celebrate our successes, taking the time to do those celebrations and ribbon cuttings and groundbreakings and those things which say, hey, we're moving forward. And then to let others know outside of this region, you know, we are starting to communicate through social networking and things like that at the city and talking about who we are and what we're about and how we're progressing. And so that's helpful. And so the idea is to keep all that going.
Thanks for coming by.
I enjoyed it.
I love that sweater. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Bill Panos. He'll consider that one for a couple of days. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.